All right, call to order the Stevensville Town Council meeting for Monday, July 23rd, 2018. Will the clerk please read the roll call?
Mayor Dooley.
Here.
Councilmember Barker.
Here.
Councilmember Hilton.
Here.
Councilmember Michelson.
Here.
And Councilmember Smith.
Here.
Thank you. If you please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, next item on the agenda is the approval of the July 9th, 2018 Town Council meeting minutes. Ms. Holcomb.
Before I make a motion, I need to know if the clerk was sworn in as clerk before our Monday meeting.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Ms. Holcomb.
I move that we approve the town council minutes of the meeting.
Okay, it's been moved to approve the town council meeting minutes for July 9th. Is there a second? Mr. Michelson.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the July 9th town council meeting minutes. Is there any discussion on the minutes? Any public comment on the minutes? Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Smith.
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Thank you. Next item is the approval of the biweekly claims. Is there a motion to approve the claims? Mr. Michelson.
I make a motion that we approve the biweekly claims.
Is there a second? Ms. Holcomb.
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the biweekly claims. Is there any question from council on the claims? Any public comment on the claims? Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Smith.
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Thank you. Sign, please. Administrative reports. I don't think anybody's here from the airport. The building department report. Oh, excuse me.
I have a letter from the airport.
Okay. Go ahead.
I think I forwarded it to you, but it says, I, Justin Woods, the Stevensville Airport Advisory Board member, being unable to attend tonight, July 23rd, 2018 council meeting, would like to input the following about the fence project at the Stevensville Airport. I did not authorize the fence project to be started, nor do I have the power to do so. In the minutes attached for the June 8, 2018 airport board meeting, you will find that a recommendation was made that if the fence was to be modified, that the town pay for the work. We fully support the purpose and do not object modifying the fence for access to the fire department and the SRE building. We just cannot fund it. The airport funds need to be directed at the taxiway ramp repairs in the near future. If the taxiway is not repaired and continues to deteriorate, the FAA could close the runway, and that would not be advisable to get the point.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Michelson.
I also have an email from Craig Thomas. He's the airport on the airport board. He couldn't make it tonight. He's up at Canada fishing. He wanted to say that he has spoken to all of his airport board members, and none of them approved the fencing project up at the airport.
Okay. Building department report is in your packet and should be on the screen. Mr. Groninger.
Question. If neither one of the airport board on a standalone fund didn't approve the fencing, who did?
It was assumed by the contractor that the town did.
Assumed by the contractor.
The contractor assumed that
they're going back after the contractor to do it for free because of the assumption was incorrect?
Correct.
Is that what's being discussed here? So we're getting...
We're not really discussing it. What I was hoping for was an administrative report from the airport, not necessarily opinion as to one way or another the merits of the fence project.
So is this something we're going to follow up on and have it run the next meeting on the agenda?
It'll be in my executive report as to where we are on it.
Later in this meeting?
Yes.
Thank you.
Fire report. The chief left.
Can I scroll down to see?
It looks like all of them are leaving.
Okay. Questions on the building report? Ms. Holcomb.
I was informed that there was a building permit signed on 514 Church. I don't see that on there.
That would probably be because this is June's activity being reported, my understanding. Scroll to the top, Brittany. Keep going. All the way. This is June's activity, not July's. That will be addressed in my executive report as well. Any other questions on the building report? Fire report. Any questions from council on the fire report? Okay. Finance report, April.
I don't have much to say either, though. As you will hopefully see,
I don't think your finance report is in the packet.
Well, Denise has been working really hard to get the accounts receivable for utility billing to come down. She had had really good success with that. However, we've noticed it's kind of swinging back up, so she's redoubling her efforts to get that back under control. It came up at the end of June, it was just under $25,000. But given we started last fiscal year, about $42,000, it's still looking pretty good, but she's working on getting those caught up again. The only other big thing going on in finance right now is the budget that we had a public hearing tonight, and hopefully we'll go in for approval on the 13th.
Any questions for the finance officer? Public questions. Mr. Tadvik.
Yeah, on the best news, do you file liens against property?
We don't, simply because when the property sells, we get the money at closing. So sometimes we do end up carrying, because the title companies know us. So when they have a property that's closing, they call Denise and say, hey, does this owner owe you money? And she says yes, and so they collect it for us.
I really recommend filing a lien on the property.
There have been properties we've done that with.
Yeah,
we've had better success going through these title companies.
Yeah, because the last time Denise did that, apparently that property had lots of liens on it, so the county took their money and we still didn't get ours until the property sold. So we just have found that this kind of works good for us.
Okay.
If we can't get a hold of somebody, then we resort to a lien. Okay, any further questions for the finance officer? Thanks, April. Three items of correspondence, I don't have any guests on tonight's agenda. Is there any guests in tonight's audience that wish to be recognized? Okay. Three items of correspondence, July 9th letter from Dwayne Bell that was copied to the City Council to Ravalli County Environmental Health. Dear Ms. Fraze, as per our phone conversation and your direction for me to fill out an official complaint due to the fact that I had met with the mayor, Brandon Dewey, and talked about both of the issues approximately 5 weeks ago. He said he would get back with me in a few days to go over the issue. I have yet to hear from him by phone or in person. This is why I was forced to call you due to the nature of the two complaints. See attached letter. Issue number one, the grease from the hood of the Long Riders Barbecue is dripping oil onto the roof and is running off the roof onto my parking area and alleyway. Cars are driving through it as well as people walking through it, tracking it everywhere. It is attracting flies and bees and is a health issue. It has started to run to the middle of the alley and then west to the city sidewalk. The hood must be cleaned and my alley power washed. Issue number two, there is a possibility that the sewer line of Long Riders Barbecue connects into my sewer line at the mini market and laundry center underneath my new addition. 32 years ago, the sewer line at the main plugged up and was dug up by the city. There was concern by four different gentlemen, Bruce Parks, town superintendent, C. Gonzalez, owner of the store, George Chilcott, and another gentleman, who all agreed that there was a possibility that their sewer line comes over and connects to mine before going to the main. Also, through my observation, during the stretch that the building next door was closed for 2 years, there were no problems with the sewer and drains. A perfect example of this situation is what happened with the drains at the Plum Loco and Viva Oaxaca restaurant in Stevensville. There is a simple solution that takes less than 10 minutes and costs nothing. Simply run a snake out of the drain and clean out at Long Rider's Barbecue. Then have a locator come and follow the snake. It will either go directly east or northeast to the mini market, which is totally illegal. At that point, we will know who is right and address the situation as needed, if any. Respectfully, Dwayne Bell. I did make contact with Dwayne Bell shortly after our conversation. Fortunately, I don't think he liked the news I had to share, which was that the town doesn't deal with sewer services. That's the responsibility of the property owner. That may not have been the case 32 years ago, but it is the case now. And so he is responsible for his sewer line. And whether Long Riders connects to that or not, that's between the two of them, if they need a new service or not. In regards to oil dripping, it's not been addressed. Angela Simonson asked that the record be corrected to clarify that she is not legal counsel for MMIA. Ms. Simonson writes, April, first off, I am not legal counsel, and when I talked with Councilman Michelson, I've been very clear that I do not give legal advice and can only speak to the level of risk involved. He asked me if it was okay for a non-fire department employee to be driving a fire department vehicle. I asked what type of vehicle the person was driving, like a standard SUV, truck, or something different. He told me it was a pump truck. I shared that normally such vehicles require special training, and unless the person driving that has specific or has task-specific training, then no, it would not be advised to allow them to drive. The second risk I identified was if the fire department received a call, then this person would have to be contacted, drive the truck back to the station, and then allow the firefighters to take the truck to the call. All of this creates a high risk for the town. The better solution for employees is to travel is to use a standard town car/truck, not special equipment that would cost quite a bit more to repair should an accident occur. Normally, only employees of the fire department, public works department, and police department are allowed to drive dedicated department vehicles. Does this align with Councilperson Sherrod? That stems from Councilperson Michelson's statement that he received legal advice from Angela. The next correspondence comes from Ann Comack at MMIA. Good afternoon, all. MMIA and NLCT staff have recently received inquiries from members of the Stevensville Council asking for legal advice on town issues. As indicated to the individuals calling, the MMIA and NLCT cannot provide our members legal advice. Please address any issues requiring legal opinion to your city attorney, Brian West. Thank you, Ann Comack, Claims Manager, Montana Municipal Interlocal Authority. Move on to public comment. Public comment is an opportunity for the public to comment on anything on tonight's agenda or under the general jurisdiction of the town of Stevensville. Ms. Barker.
I had a correspondence that was also sent to both you and I on Wednesday, July 18th, that I'd like to read to the public as well.
Okay.
My name is Crystal Grant, and I am a Stevensville resident. I need to voice concerns regarding the pool. I understand that open swim hours have been reduced since last year. This is very disappointing since my family normally is able to go to the pool mostly in the evenings, and weather in the evening tends to be more enjoyable. This summer, my girls and I were very excited to be able to visit the pool during the day as well as at night. Even though there are only 2 evenings available, I was considering purchasing a season pass this year. Last weekend, on Saturday, July 14th, we decided to meet some friends at the pool at 2 p.m. Our friends traveled from Corvallis. Imagine our surprise when we learned that the pool had been booked for a private party during the open swim hours. While we were only live a few blocks away, our friends made a specific trip to the pool. They also said this happened to them one other time this year. Open swim hours have been reduced, but yet even more hours are taken away for private parties. Someone made the comment to me that the pool can make more money from private parties than from open swim. From a business standpoint, I understand this. From a community standpoint, it is very disappointing. I am glad I did not purchase a season pass because more than times would be taken away from what would have been available for us. I feel sorry for the people that have purchased them this year. I can't imagine that these people are able to use their passes to full extent. On Saturday the 14th, I checked the pool's website to ensure that the open swim hours were correct. I did not see any postings regarding a warning that public time may be booked or that the pool had been booked that day. There were no signs at the pool. I feel sorry for the children or possibly young adults working at the pool to have them to turn away people. I highly doubt that they are the ones making the decision to close the pool to the public. Yet, they have to take the brunt of the disappointment from people coming to use the pool. Once we got home, I checked the website again for a fine print that stated open swim time could possibly be taken away from the public. I did not see anything in this effort or this effect. Please ensure that open swim time remains open to the public. I am a single mom raising two girls. They love to swim, and when we moved into town, this was one thing that they were excited about. As a single mom, I really can't afford a season pass, but I was going to figure out a way to make it work in my budget. For my girls and to help boost our community, now even my 7 and 11 year olds have a bad taste in their mouths about the community. Please do what it is right to ensure the times and events remain as they are posted. Crystal Grant.
Thank you. All right, public comment is an opportunity for the public to comment on anything in tonight's agenda or under the jurisdiction of the town of Stevensville. If you please step forward to the podium, state your name and address for the record. Any public comment? Ms. Motley.
Vicki Motley, 318 9th Street. I just want to say that I really like the new format of the agenda. I like how there's back history that's kind of been added to the agenda to show, you know, anything that was coming up. I just like the new format, so nice job.
Thank you. Any further public comment?
I'd like to, but I'd like to be last. There's nobody else.
I don't think there's anyone else. You step to the podium and.
Do I need to? I'm Pat Groniger. Everybody knows me. Okay. In regards to the Dwayne Bell issue, Dwayne Bell's been around for a long time, and I think that in the past, the town of Stevensville has spent thousands and thousands of dollars on a camera. I guess what I'm hearing here is what happened to Stevensville? What happened to helping people? What's it going to cost for George to go up? And I know George is a busy man. I know we're all busy. But the fact is that there's an issue there that could have been rectified years ago that now can be rectified with a camera going up a pipe. And I haven't spoken to Dwayne Bell in 20 years. But the fact is he's a resident, long-time resident of town of Stevensville. It just baffles me. Help him out. Second off is the second item on the agenda of correspondence is in regards to the fire trucks. We have people driving the fire trucks that are not certified?
No, we don't.
We don't. So you're still certified to drive a fire truck?
Sure.
Even though you're not supposed to be involved with fire trucks or the fire department anymore because you're mayor? So when I've seen you driving the trucks, you're still okay with that? Everybody's okay with that? Is Trevor Motley approved for the fire truck?
Yes, he is.
He is. So he said, how old is Trevor?
21.
Holy such, you're kidding me. 21? Oh my lord. I'm sorry for that one. I felt old on that one. I apologize. I'm just saying accuracy throughout. And so there is a question on your, as far as you're here. What happened to Stevensville? It amazes me. Just amazes me.
Enough said.
Okay. Any further public comment? Mr. Chadwick.
Jim Chadwick, 509 Mission Street. Are we starting to crack down on weeds and that? Because my neighbor's weeds are now 6 feet tall.
I'll bring it to Brittany's attention that she may have missed that one.
And buy junk cars.
Of course. We love junk vehicles.
To answer your question, Mr. Chadwick, no, we're not. They're not. They don't care anymore. In my opinion.
All right, we'll move on to unfinished business.
Brandon.
Oh, excuse me. Public comment. Mr. Moore.
My name is Joe Moore. I live at 514 Central Ave. And I didn't come to the last meeting because the meeting before the last meeting, I yelled at by a council member when I voiced his opinion. So I'll just voice my opinion in public comments. One of the things that I wanted to mention was the last time I came to a meeting, I heard the opportunity was raised that everybody was going to work together. And then I missed the meeting because that was kind of like, well, maybe I better give somebody some time. And then this came out last week. So my only point is that, based on what I've heard tonight so far, is that I wish we'd get back to the idea that we're going to work in a positive way for the town. And that doesn't mean anybody's particular agenda. That means that all items on the table for everybody to work on, everybody's going to work in a positive manner. One of the things that was mentioned the last time was an idea that maybe if everybody that has been on the council and has been on the board reflected on some of the unfinished business that could be turned around in a positive way, we could be talking about more positive issues to rectify some of the things that come up. It's not a matter of just responding to the emergencies that are raised because they become somebody's personal issue. The other thing I wanted to mention, and it's probably more personal, I'm getting to a point where I'm getting really kind of upset about it. If we're going to continue to read about everything that's going on in the paper, and I'm going to suggest and make an announcement, maybe we should just reduce the number of council members. Because, as a matter of fact, I happen to live in Ward 1, and I haven't been called on, asked a question, solicited advice, or asked an opinion about any item that's ever been raised up on an agenda at this meeting. So my suggestion would be, if the council is not going to be able to move forward in a positive way, and has always been a site, just a few people they talk with, and not solicit the citizens of their ward, then maybe we need to look at reducing the number of members on the council so we can have a more effective council in a positive way.
Okay. Any further public comment?
I'm Cindy Prairie, I live at 417 Mission Street. And in response to you, maybe we'd better quit reading the paper and believing what it says.
Is there any further public comment? Hearing none, we'll proceed with unfinished business. Unfinished business item A is Resolution 428, a resolution to place a public safety mill levy on the general election ballot. I realize it's somewhat unconventional to bring something that wasn't passed or it's kind of left unclear back on the agenda. We brought this back forward just because of the confusion that was kind of expressed at the last budget workshop as to whether or not we were going to run a public safety mill levy. So I brought it back forward for the council's consideration. You can move to adopt Resolution 428, or you can move to deny Resolution 428. Either way, that's your decision. However, the administration and I think the community deserves some sort of firm answer as to whether or not we go forward on this. I understand Robert's rules and that, you know, in theory, when it dies for lack of a second, then it's just done. Based on, again, the conversation that was held at the workshop, there was some confusion expressed by council, so we wanted to clarify that confusion. How'd the council like to proceed? Okay, we'll move on. Next item is discussion decision, Town of Stevensville's July 6, 2018 traffic study. So its traffic study was conducted by the Chief of Police. You'll see he spent an hour and a half and counted around 90 cars in the area he studied. His and my recommendation is to install stop signs at the intersection of College and Second to create a four-way stop. We feel that it'll slow traffic down coming up and down Second, and it will slow the traffic on College as well. Some conversation with the chief talked about the possibility of doing a much more in-depth traffic analysis of the neighborhoods adjacent to downtown, just to kind of see what patterns we're observing, given the high level of traffic that he's observed at this with this study. But nonetheless, we think this is a decent fix going forward at this point. How would the council like to proceed? Mr. Michelson.
I make a motion that we approve the Town of Stephenville, July 16th, 2010 traffic study.
Okay, I appreciate you wanting to approve it, but really what we're looking for is the approval to place a four-way stop at College and Second.
Oh, okay. Excuse me. Can I retract my motion?
Okay. Would you like to make a new one?
No.
Okay. Ms. Barker.
So we're just looking at just placing the sign at the one stop.
We're just looking at stop signs at College and Second right now. James would like to do some more study on Church and Second to see if stop signs are warranted there.
I think it should be because, again, there was another accident on Saturday. It was two Saturdays ago at that same intersection, and I've seen multiple. They just fly right through there.
And we're hoping by placing the signs on Second Street so that you have to stop on Second at College, that it'll slow that traffic each direction. Mr. Michelson.
I have a question regarding the whole thing. Last council meeting, we approved the traffic study, and it brought back to us, and I understand he needs more time, but now it looks like we're just picking and choosing certain streets when the whole thing was bundled up in the original proposal. Couldn't we table it and wait till all of that's in one to do it?
He did study all of the streets that were in the proposal. And his recommendation after studying all three of those intersections was that the intersection that needed the four-way stop was College and Second.
So you're saying that a four-way stop at that intersection?
Correct. So if you're driving...
I think you're going to have confusion if you do a four-way stop at that intersection. I think it needs to be a stop sign on each one of those intersections, not just one of them. Second has always been a straight through street. You put a stop sign in that, you're going to have some confusion. I think it needs to be on those side streets.
Okay, what kind of direction would the council like to take? Ms. Holcomb.
I would like to see that it's just like Third Street, where there are stop signs all the way down on the side streets. And not, because I agree with Councilperson Barker that if you put a four-way stop right there, it's going to cause a lot of confusion. I mean, they can't even understand a four-way stop on Main and Third.
I mean, if it's the council's desire to see a stop sign at each of these intersections, then that can be your motion. Ms. Holcomb.
I move that we put a stop sign on each intersection going down Second on the main streets or the side streets.
Okay. You're asking to put a stop sign at any street intersecting Second Street.
Yes.
Is there a second? Ms. Barker.
Second the motion.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to place stop signs at any street intersecting Second Street. Is there any further discussion from council? Any public comment? Ms. Motley.
I would just like to point out that during the school year, Railroad Ave and Second, there is a stop sign, but no high school student applies to that. They go right on through from the student parking lot at that stop sign under Railroad Ave, and I have seen multiple people about to get hit there because, one, people aren't watching, and two, they are going way too fast and don't really care if they get into an accident. So I would recommend that you put an officer out there during lunchtime for high school to cut back on some of those issues, and that will probably also cut back on a lot of the other Second Street accidents because kids race down Third to cut across onto Second to get out faster to beat their buddy to Super One or to wherever they're going to lunch. That has been a problem for the 4 years that I was in high school.
Thank you. Further public comment, Mr. Groninger.
In regards to Third Street, as far as the stop sign, have we even talked to the school? In fact, you know, I see it all the time, every day. The buses and the feed mill back in there, I mean, that's some heavy traffic on Third. They're coming down that extension of Third Street, come around on Park and coming down. They have two different options they can go to. The bus route can go straight out to Burnfort, or the feed mill can go straight out to Eastside Highway. That's a heavy impact with the buses and the feed mill trucks on Third and in the intersection. That's going to relieve a lot on the traffic, especially in season and in school. So just something to consider.
Thank you. Ms. Eckert.
The other thing I'd like to maybe look at is because the stop, or well, right now the yield signs are so far off the road, is there any way to pull those out closer to the road, or do they have to be on the curbside? Because I'm thinking people aren't seeing those.
We can have Public Works take a look when they install the stop signs and make sure that visibility is met.
Because a lot of those are, like, I know on the intersection of College, there are vehicles that, you know, park right there, and they kind of block that. I think Church Street is the same way.
Okay. So. Thank you. Any further public comment? Okay. Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Smith.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes unanimously. Next item on the agenda is council inquiry as to why the order to remove the permanent pit toilet structure and capping of the pit toilet has not been accomplished as directed during the October 2nd, 17 town council meeting. The background has been provided in your packet. This was brought forward. Submitted by Mr. Cruz and signed off by Mr. Michelson and Ms. Barker. Mr. Michelson.
As you can read up there, Mr. Cruz brought two items to us, to Barker and me. This is unfinished business from October 17th of 17 when the council directed the town to tear down that pit out there, and we just want to know, is there a time frame on this? It's still there, it's an eyesore, it should have been tore down, and we got the rebar and everything we purchased from last year, it's still sitting, and it's not done.
So in discussing the issue with George, the first thing he brought up was more so of a manpower issue, meaning he didn't have the staff to really get that project done, and it kind of fell low on the priority list. The other piece of it is that while Fish, Wildlife, and Parks is developing the front portion of the fishing access site, they've engaged in some conversation with the park board and in their environmental assessment as to meet the possibility of installing a toilet at the River Park parking lot, which would tremendously benefit that area. So George kind of made the assumption to stave off on that because we wanted to see kind of what happened with Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. And then we're not entirely sure in further discussion in the office as to what Department of Environmental Quality, what standards they have for closing that toilet. So we've kind of just left it alone for right now to see how it plays out. It's secure. It's not going anywhere. So that's the best response we can get. Mr. Michelson.
So you're telling the council and the people that are saying, have been saying it's an eyesore, that it's going on a year now and it's still, and I understand you're only been here for a while and part of it falls on the other mayor that it was here, Mr. Cruz, but I think by this fall, we should set a timetable and have George and them guys just go out there and bulldoze it down, cap it up. I don't know the logistics of the, as far as the state regulations are, but I'm pretty think it's been there for so long that it's probably grandfathered in to just close it. I don't see where there's anything left there as far as biodegradable after all these years. How long has it been since it's been used?
I don't think it's been as long as you think it has. I think it's maybe only been closed 5 to 10 years.
Really? Because in 2005 when I moved here and I was taking my dog out there, it was closed then.
Okay.
That's 13 years.
That's something we want to do some more research on to find out from the state sanitarian what goes into decommissioning a pit toilet. And again, we're hoping to hear from Fish, Wildlife, and Parks if they're moving forward on some sort of bathroom proposal that the council can hear going forward. Okay. Mm-hmm. Is there any public comment on the matter? Ms. Eckert.
When I was actually doing books for my in-laws before we took over the business, it was still up and running in like 2007 because we were asked by the Civic Club to come in and clean that pretty out and stuff. So it was still open. Shortly after that, they did close that down. And I know there are regulations as far as caving that in and stuff. John would be a good person to talk to on a sanitarian.
Thank you. Further public comment? Okay, we'll move on. Next agenda item is discussion decision, council's direction to reopen the Town of Stevensville's temporary river access site. Again, brought forward by Mr. Cruz and council members Barker and Michelson. The background information is in your packet. I will bring to your attention the floodplain permit expires for that facility on August 11th. Mr. Michelson.
Again, this was another agenda item that was brought before Council Member Barker and I. It has to do with the temporary river access site that the previous mayor put out there when the cap land swap issue was going on. And there's a number of things going on that we either address or are going to have to drop the ball on. And number one, like you just said, the August 11th deadline is coming up as far as the floodplain.
The permit, correct.
Correct. And I don't see why, what's it cost to get one you just have to put one in or what?
The floodplain renewal is $50, but you must submit for that 30 days in advance of its expiration. So we're less than 30 days from its expiration. Mm-hmm. And we don't necessarily have the $50 posted anywhere in the budget to renew that permit.
Okay. Well, I guess it's a closed deal then, because yeah, I have another question as far as the land across that was given to us by the county.
Yes.
What are we going to do? Do you have any plans for that? Or now that the river access site that the Fish, Wildlife, and Parks is planning on doing, are you planning on just letting that go and go back to the county?
I don't have any plans. I've not necessarily considered it. I'm kind of hoping the park board could provide direction on what to do with that property.
I think it's sad that we put so much time and effort as a council to have the temporary river access site open last year and not knowing, of course, what the Fish and Wildlife and Parks are going to do. But now it's just a big cluster you-know-what down there. we have a situation where people are pulling in right in there, backing their boats into the water, and have to pull their trailers all the way down to the river park, park them, back, come back down, and then get in their boat. And also with the people that recreated on there, and I noticed that they took the restriction sign down there by the trees going into the river park on the riverside, but it doesn't alleviate the fact that there's so much congestion down there, people coming and going out of that river park, whether they're recreating along the river or they're recreating along to put their boats in. I don't understand why we couldn't have opened that to ease the congestion down there just until they had it figured out what they were going to do down there. Just to leave it closed and padlocked, I think, was a shame. But it doesn't matter now. We can't get the... It's too late to get the floodplain put in. The thing is pretty much dead.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Smith.
Well, I just... I wasn't part of those discussions at that time. I wasn't on council as of yet. I was with the park board and Tanya that worked on this issue. And it was a temporary solution. And we have been focusing on our guys' workloads, and they already are so behind. We've got a boiler, we've got all these other issues that I feel with the state doing what they're doing, with the landowner reopening that access point, it has solved the solution. It's the users down there that aren't being cognizant that, one, it's not our property as the town. We have a throughway to our property. It's owned by somebody else who is in negotiations with the FWP to expand it and make it into a more usable access. So I think we need to allow them to further up what they're doing with their camping and all of that they want to do, and work with the park board to get some direction of drop your boat, park your car, and that way people aren't trying to just block it in there. That's what's going on, is people are just not parking the way you should, realistically. It's a mess down there, but other than having somebody there the whole time saying, you need to go park here, we need to give them direction, or the state needs to give them direction, because again, it's not our property. And the state is working on this. So again, I get to the liability that temporary access would put on to us in our community if something happened back there. Again, we would have two access points. Again, we would have to send our crew down there to maintain it. Again, we'd have to send our crew in there to mitigate any of the flood damage that's going on. So by the time we do this, the season is over again. And again, this is why it was done the way it was done, as a temporary access site. So I just get to the key word, temporary.
Ms. Barker.
In all honesty, I think we've forgotten about that park back there. The weeds have grown up. You can't get to the picnic tables. To me, as a family, taking my kids back there, family, I don't want to do it. It looks terrible. We've let it go. And it's a shame. You know, this is one park that we are so focused on right now about trying to rebuild it and stuff, but we forgot about what we have back there by the weeds and the tables. And
the flood.
We had a Eagle project that was done back there. It's sad. We should take care of it, and we're not.
The flood somewhat set us back, because what we did, we locked the gates and then it was out of sight, out of mind, because we didn't have any reason to go back there. Now that's reopened, George has realized that, yeah, we've let the weeds grow, and the trail needs some serious rehabilitation.
We need some weed spray or something to kill the knapweed.
The county weed department's been contacted to come in and address that by and large, because it's been going on for a long time. Ms. Holcomb.
Well, correctly, if I'm wrong, but when the new owners opened that back up, I believe there was a statement that if people did not obey or do what they were supposed to be doing down there, if we don't get it under control, they're going to end up closing it back. That, I mean, if that's what I was understanding by what we were being told.
the property owner, what she said was, as long as private property rights are respected in regards to the site, then the site would remain open. Fish, Wildlife, and Parks and the property owner are very close to a land deal. Within, I would expect, the next 4 to 10 weeks, they'll have something probably hammered out. With that said, she was more in reference to the trespassing that had been going on under previous ownership, where people wouldn't respect the fence lines and that sort of thing. I've talked to FWP about the congestion as early as Friday, and their response was is that they know what's going on, and they don't necessarily care for the situation either. They met with the property owner and agreed that if we could just survive the next, 10 to 12 weeks of the season, then the congestion should dramatically decrease, and the impact of that facility will go down. But again, we didn't have much skin in the game as far as that fishing access site's concerned, just because we don't own it, and the only thing we have through there is the road itself, and Fish, Wildlife, and Parks has kind of done what they can to maintain making sure that road is at least open one lane. So, Mr. Michelson.
I'd also like to point out that Mr. Groninger here made a very good point. What the heck happened to Stevensville? You come in here and you're recreating. We've got a $40 million fishing industry right in front of us that we all depend on. Hamilton, all of us, Corvallis, Stevensville, Florence, all the way into Missoula. And these guys are from out of state, however, these are world-class fly fishermen that come in here. And they come down to that river, they get in there, and they go back to where that pavilion is to park their boat, and they see the weeds so high they can't even see the picnic table. And to me, that doesn't set a very good precedent to what they're going down the highway to go around the corner to go into town. If we can't keep up that river park, then that, to me, sets a pretty good precedent for a lot of people that would want to come into town and get a meal, stay a night, do whatever. They're going to look at that and say, geez, what a place. I'll just take my trailer and go down the road and get a meal where it's clean. You can't even sit down. So this is something that I think the town is going to have to really push to get forward on as far as the pavilion needs painting. That picnic table needs replaced, and as you go in there, it's a mess. So we have to, I know it's a little late this year, but we're going to have to get real proactive on it, or we're going to lose it. Thank you.
Is the council okay with taking public comment on the matter? Okay, public comment. Mr. Groninger.
When I was mayor, I personally took a walk through there for half a day with Mr. Capps on that property. He was willing to do some very, very generous dealing at that time, so I'm pretty familiar with the access. But one thing that's confusing to me is if you folks, as far as the council, have made a decision prior with Mayor Cruz and what have you, and then the question of where it is today, I guess my understanding is what's going on is, where did it change from the council don't have the authority to direct? I would suggest you make a motion of what you want to see done by next council. And you are the authority. You are the law. The mayor and the town people and every staff have to follow what's decided by the council. That's what puts you in election and puts you at this table. So if there's something in regards to the permit that should have never went more than less than 30 days as far as lapse, it should be done. It should be done now. $50? Come on. Terrible excuse. My suggestion to the council is make a motion of the meet and of the statute and of the directness of what you want done by the next council meeting, and that's law. Pretty simple. Take it. It's yours. You run the town. Thank you for your time.
Further public comment. Mr. Moore.
John Moore, 514 Central. First of all, I'd like to compliment Ms. Barker on her suggestion about what was happening in the past with regard to the scouts. That's a great idea. That's a positive step forward. And maybe something like that should be taken on by a council member that wanted to raise this issue again. Maybe Mr. Michelson would like to come up with a plan and suggestion and a guidance for how the council is supposed to direct that fishing access, since this is a return to the issue Mr. Pratt wasn't here before. We had a long discussion over this a long time ago, and it was resolved, and this whole issue is coming back. But if Mr. Michelson feels that this is important, that's one of those positive points of past business that's unresolved that you could take on, and you could kind of find some solutions and make some suggestions to the council where we can make some definite moves forward. It wouldn't be just $50. You may have some suggestions in terms of what Ms. Barker suggested, in terms of maybe getting scouts or some other people or some of the other citizens of this community involved and coming back with an idea on how we can resolve that. That would be a real positive issue. I don't need an applause.
Okay.
No.
Ms. Ecker.
On the, as far as like the cleanup of the river park and stuff, the town has never really done that. It has always been volunteers from the town. I know a lot of the folks that used to go out there, I know they're getting older and stuff like that, but it's always been town support as far as going out there and trimming the weeds, moving the branches and all that stuff, and painting benches and whatever. It's never been our town employees.
Thank you. Ms. Motley.
When George did his budget, did he include anything in his budget to do any maintenance, paint or repair of the tables on any of the parks?
There's a small allowance for incidentals.
Because, I mean, it's really hard for the park board to move forward and say this is what we need, but we don't have a budget to prioritize what is happening. We've done an assessment of the parks. I thought that Scout Group was going to come back this year and do more work out there, kind of from what they said, but apparently that didn't happen. But it would be nice to know if there's some money to do some of those things with, so that then the park board could prioritize projects in the parks, which park is high priority, and where does the money go? Because to just say, well, we need to do this, well, Bob, you at a meeting at the Baptist Church wanted to put a freeze on spending so that nothing was spent because we're in a new budget year. So to me, you have to give money to these projects in order to move forward. And it's not going to happen until you guys get a budget, because there is a spending freeze, I believe, except for salaries. It gets kind of old that everybody puts it back on the park board, but you don't give the park board any authority to make any decisions. So it's very frustrating to sit and listen.
Any further public comment? Mr. Michelson.
Excuse me if I'm wrong, Mrs. Motley, but it's not directed at the park board at all. It's directed really, the two items in question tonight were removal of the permanent pit and, of course, the reopening of the town council river access site, which, of course, is pretty mute now that we didn't get the $50 permit on time, and I have to speak for the council. I don't think any of us was ever informed of this by the mayor. I'm not blaming you, Mayor Dewey, just saying it was a lack of communication all the way around, all of us. And I have to agree with Mr. Moore that if we're going to get this back on track here, we need to start reaching out to each other across the aisle, because what we're doing now, it's pretty evident to the people out here that there was quite a lack of communication. Mm-hmm. On my part, your part, and we have to, yes, we meet once a month with the city attorney, but other than that, it seemed to be kind of a closed-door policy. So I'm thinking maybe what if we can move forward as far as the river park. Didn't Gene Thomas have that money set aside for beautification of the parks? Couldn't we use some of that? $10,000, whatever, $5,000 to clean up the river park? Get that moving forward. I mean, it's like we're scared to use the money. She set it there for a park. To me, that's a perfect place to start. It'd be right up there at the river park. Take some money out of the fund, put it in the budget and run with it. And that's a start to making the town of Stevensville better again. Thank you.
Okay. How would the council like to move forward with the temporary river access site, if at all? Mr. Moore.
I would like to clarify, I don't have a problem with communications, Maxim, although I do like to be taken into consideration for this item. My concern was, for moving the council forward, was getting those council members more active in participating on an item that they thought was going to make a positive impact on the town. I don't want to miscommunicate. If this old beachfront is still an issue from last year, which it appears to be, and I don't see Mr. Cruz here, so he should probably get a call from me too, to want to participate, and I would say jump on that and give us some positive suggestions as a town. Ms. Barker made a very good positive suggestion by mentioning what scouts have done in the past and has already been mentioned. It is not necessarily a matter of money to move this town forward. It's a matter of finding the right opportunities with the right people who want to participate to make it better. That's my communication. If the council decides that there are going to be issues that we're going to go over and over and over and over again, and maybe point blame in some direction, it's probably what you said earlier that makes a difference, finding the positives and making that motion go forward. And that's what I'm going to see go forward.
Ms. Barker.
I'd just like to say one thing about Vicki. I totally agree with what Vicki's saying on what direction we need to move in that. What type of things can we do down there to make that bigger and better? We don't have that guidance. We need that guidance, and it is very frustrating. You know, how much money do we have to spend on these type of projects? Can we, you know, and I know that it was mentioned at one of the last budget meetings as well about the sand and the chips and all that in there. I want to know, do we have that in the public works department to be able to work with? Very little. Maybe that's somewhere we need to start.
Sure. Mr. Smith.
It is part of the park board's problem, because that's what they are there for, to garner up the individuals, just like when we have the community cleanup. So what we need to do is put it out to the community again. We need volunteers again. I think that's part of the communication that's not happening. All the previous park boards, every year we have the community cleanup. How many volunteers did we have this year? We had over 50 people come out this year and help clean up our community. There are multiple agencies that are looking to volunteer or to become a volunteer for various things. So we, as far as direction, this is a park board issue of put the word out there. This is what we need. We need to clean up the river park. As far as putting money towards these things, again, we get to the point where we have a pool that's bad. We've got a police department that is underfunded. We've got all of these lack of personnel to fix our streets, our sidewalks, and every other entity. So again, it comes down to priorities. What is a priority? Okay. In the budget, this zero-based budget, what I see is everybody zeroed it out to be the least amount going on, without thinking those long-term issues out also. Again, we didn't allot anything really for sidewalks. We are thinking of only doing part of the street. So again, it comes down to the overall of the community stepping up like it normally does. When we put the word out, people come and show up and help us. And I think that's what we need to do. And that's part of the solution too, is to start putting the word out there of these are the directions. Because we had at one time, your son was going to do the benches for a senior project. Again, we have many of those seniors that are looking for projects to be done. Benches and things back in that park can be part of that. So we just have to reach out to the normal areas that we reach out to until we can get the personnel that can maintain it on our own. Because again, I get back to, we didn't have Ed for 8 months, give or take. And so 8 months worth of work stagnated. And now we have those gentlemen trying to get all of their work and that 8 months of stagnation. We still don't have a bathroom. How long is the bathroom at Lewis and Clark Park been out? I mean, realistically. So it comes down to priorities, and I think we don't have our priorities straight sometimes.
Okay, bringing it back to our, I think there's a lot of discussion about whether or about the condition of our parks and how to fund those repairs and that sort of work. But the agenda item, but for the council tonight, is a temporary river access site. So I just ask council to make some sort of direction. We got one last public comment from Joe.
I would just like to compliment Mr. Smith on his comments about what can be done. But I really think at the heart of it is each one of you people needs to take a leadership role on those items that you think is important. My communication is pretty direct. You're supposed to be the leaders of this community. You're the ones who need to go out and get those people involved. You're the ones who need to solicit what volunteers are available. You're the ones who need to lead the volunteers and get those items out there. One mayor can't do it. One council can't sit around the table and talk about it. And there are a lot of people who want to help. They want to help under your direction. They want to know what you think. And you've got to ask, and they want to know what they can do for you so that you can do more for the city.
How would the council like to proceed? Mr. Michelson.
I make a motion to direct the reopening of the Donald Stephenville Temporary River Access Site.
Okay, is there a second? Ms. Alden.
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to direct the reopening of the town of Stephensville's temporary river access site. Discussion from council. Mr. Michelson.
So there is no way that we can get it, the floodplain permit back if it's the dead, we're past the deadline then, Mayor Dewey?
The documentation that I had to go back and research for the floodplain permit stated that the floodplain permit expired August 11th of 2018, and it could be renewed or extended for another year with a $50 fine, as long as that extension was filed for with at least 30 days in advance of the expiration. And at that point, and even given then, there was no guarantee that that permit would be renewed. It was just an application fee to extend that permit. I don't know what happens if you try to do it less than 30 days. They may send your check back or they may take it. I don't know. Council discussion.
Is there any way that you could check on that for the council? Or
I can, but if you're going to delay action to the next council meeting, that's going to be after the floodplain expires, the floodplain permit expires.
Because it really doesn't make much sense. We're just going through the motions here. If we can't get the floodplain permit, of course, as you well know, we can't put a boat back in there, the temporary access site. So I didn't know this. Sorry. I should be in my own room too, but there's a lack of communication.
Further council discussion before we take public comment. Okay, public comment on the motion. Mr. Groninger.
I just want to be point blatantly blunt. Quit skirting the issue. Get on the phone tomorrow, Mr. Mayor. Call the guy. Tell him what's going on. Tell him what you've been through. Tell him as far as delays. Get the permit. I'm sorry. If they know anything about Stephensville, they're used to delays. They've been down this road before. We all have. I mean, I've been listening to this for 20 years. The fact is, if they want it, let me know. I'm free in the morning. I'll take it to them. But the fact is it's there's no excuse. Get the permit. I don't care what it says, and nothing against you. I don't give a rip what the paper says. Make it happen. Put it in your resolution. Amend your resolution as far as your act, and make sure tomorrow morning by 10 o'clock you have personal emails and phone calls to you to find out what the status is. Do it. It's simple. Thank you.
Further public comment. Ms. Tavick.
Either that or just take a check up from the Thomas money, walk it up to that sanitarian or whoever you have to give it to and say, we are asking as a town, maybe we screwed up, we forgot the deadline, but have somebody from this office walk it up there and hand deliver it. I mean, it doesn't have to be by emails, it doesn't have to be by phone calls. Go see him in person.
Mr. Moore.
I would again remind us that we don't have to fit on what we haven't done right, because we talked about it a long time The fact that we didn't do it is we didn't do it, but I'd go so far as to say it isn't the mayor's responsibility. It happens to be the council's responsibility to go forward with it if they're bringing it up again. And as a matter of point, if you're really looking for the money that's not in the budget, you can all divvy up a little bit out of your honorarium to cover it.
Well, it could come out of the Thomas Fund.
We don't have spending authority for that funding. Mr. Groninger.
I just want to address something else. It's not the council's point. The council sets action and sets forward. It's the mayor to respond and as well as the relevant employees. The mayor is the executive as far as the employees, and the council tells the mayor what to do. As far as if we're talking about $50, it scares me because we don't have that left in general fund. Are you kidding me? $50? So it is the council's job to direct. It is the council's job to vote. And that's where the responsibility lies, because it's the mayor's job to do and direct beyond him. Thank you.
All right, any further public comment? Ms. Molly.
So if you go forward with this, then do you have any kind of dollar figures as to what it's going to cost to remove the large pile of debris that was filed or that was found and all of the, I mean, do you have breakdowns of what those costs are? Because again, you're in a budget cycle. You haven't allotted for that. So if you don't have that money in the budget, how can you move forward with this unless you make some type of a budget change to account for this? Secondly, I don't know how many boaters are going to use that boat launch when the other one's open. It's a far better boat launch, the original site, than what the town did.
Okay. Further public comment? Mr. Monk.
If you get the permit, there was a big discussion about getting volunteers. I don't think you need something in the budget to handle that part. And you still have the money from Mrs. Thomas that you could tap into if that was really an issue.
Any further public comment on the motion? Ms. Eckert.
I know you guys could call up some of the youth groups and stuff that would be more than willing to go down there and do that. I'm sure the Boy Scouts would be more than willing to go down there and do that as well. And as far as my understanding of that Thomas Fund is that the Park Board had to come up with a list of priorities in each one of the parks, submit it to the council, and then that money would be available for the parks once that list of priorities was handled in, and it has to be suggested by the park board.
Okay. Thank you. Any other public comment on reopening the fishing access site for the council discussion? Mr. Michelson?
I would just like to also add that I do disagree with Mr. Cruz's comment here to make it permanent. I think it should be temporary, and the fact of the matter is that once the Fish, Wildlife, and Parks does have their access up, mm-hmm. and once they do get it ironed out with the town of Stevensville as far as the toilet access, where it's going to be and all that, I don't see why it would need to be permanent after that. But now I don't think we've hurt the town to get a $50 permit to go down and keep it another year. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Holcomb.
Well, we don't know if anybody else would use it if we don't try. I mean, it might open up some of that cluster that's at that very beginning of it. So why? I don't have a problem. Let's try it for another year.
Okay. Mr. Smith, did you have something to add?
Well, I just come to again, it was a temporary access. Again, the Fish, Wildlife, and Parks has come to us with their proposal. Let's let them do their thing. Again, we would be stepping on bringing people through an area already. Why don't we talk to FWP and have them maybe mitigate some of the traffic issues that are going on? Let's get some volunteers back there. I'll do a post as soon as I get home tonight. I'll have volunteers for us, and we'll pick a weekend and we can get some individuals up there. But as far as wasting our manpower that is already being pushed to the extremes, because again, we would have to go back there and look and mitigate any flood damage that has occurred back there. So we don't know what that may incur or cost as far as time for those guys. Then we get to the other issues underlying with the whole thing, that it's operational. People are enjoying themselves now. They're using it. They're launching their boats. They're in and out of the water. I understand that parking isn't the best, and I understand people aren't being conducive to that, but let's let Fish to Wildlife get us a proposal. Let's see what we have by next year, and then let's, if at that point we need to expend some resources, we can expend those resources. Right now, I think we could better use our resources elsewhere. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. This time I'll move forward and we'll call for the vote from the council. Councilmember Parker.
Did we have a second on this?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Smith?
No.
Okay, motion passes 3-1. Next agenda item is the discussion decision on the agreement for ambulance billing services. This comes forward from the last meeting. The attorney has had a chance to approve the agreement to form. His only remark was is that we didn't have the percentage indicated in the agreement. It was left blank inadvertently. We contacted to make sure that we were right on the number. 8% is the rate to which they charge, meaning that if we do not transport and do not bill, they do not charge us anything. If we transport and bill, they charge an 8% rate on that billing. The agreement is before you. Would council like to proceed? Ms. Holcomb.
Have we, is this something that we would need to put out for bid to look at a couple other companies?
You could, if you'd like. The ambulance billing companies, there's not a whole lot of them out there, at least in Montana locally. This company's based out of Eureka and came recommended by our licensing representative through the Department of Public Health and Human Services. And so they didn't solicit us. We actually went to them and said, hey, you've been recommended by a number of references. Could you send forward a proposal? Mr. Michelson.
I have a question for either Mr. Motley or Mr. Tavik, maybe. Do you guys remember when the ambulance service was, maybe you can answer too, Mayor Dewey, the ambulance service was approved by the council back in the day? Can anybody remember that, or is it?
The council's never actually formed an ambulance service, per se. I mean, back in whatever day. The ambulance in the Bitter Valley has certainly seen its trials. It originally was with the hospital, and then a private company came in and started an ambulance service. That fell apart, and then the Rural Fire District in Stevensville, at least for Stevensville, came together and leased an ambulance from Missoula. They ran it themselves, trained some people, and they ran the ambulance for Stevensville, and then Marcus Daly took the ambulance service back on. And they've run it ever since.
So my question would be, this is looking at the NCA codes and everything, this would be something that would have to be approved by council before it even went forward to this contract and everything else, because council would have to approve a fire department within the, I mean, an ambulance service within the fire department. It couldn't be together as one. I mean, it has to go through council and it could be, but. We're not a fire department standalone.
We're not designating an ambulance service. The fire department is providing the EMS care.
Okay.
So it's the fire department doing the transporting. It's the fire department billing for services.
Within the fire department itself. So it's not really even called an ambulance service.
No, it's not an ambulance.
It's just a backup kind of?
Correct. It's supplementary to whatever services Marcus Daly can provide. So if for whatever reason Marcus Daly, one of their three ambulances any given day, could not respond to Stevensville, then we're the backup system.
Who's our medical person on staff? Who would be the doctor on staff for that if it was something that they needed?
Dr. Trangmo is our medical direction for our license. She's been medical direction for 15, 20 years.
And where does she reside?
In Stevensville.
Dr. Trangmo?
Trangmo. She's an emergency doctor out of Community Medical Center.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. How would the council like to proceed? Mr. Michelson.
I make a motion that we make an agreement with the ambulance billing services of Pintner Billing Services, LLC, for a contract starring billing Medicaid and Medicare.
Okay. It's been moved to approve the ambulance billing agreement with Pintner Billing Services. Is there a second? Ms. Holcomb.
I'll second it.
Okay. Any discussion from council? Mr. Smith.
What is their overall cost going to be if they pick me up?
That's yet to be determined. That's the next thing you'll see on the agenda. When the fire department figures out their costs, you'll then get input on it. You'll get to adopt those fees as to what the fire department charges for a transport, if anything. Further discussion from council? Public comment. Mr. Motley.
So, for clarification on all this, what we're really doing is we are expanding the service that the QRU is providing, has been providing for 15, 20 years. In 95, when I joined the department, we at that time did have a fledgling QRU. We had two EMTs. We built our EMT staff up to, I think, a high of 14. And at one time, we were even at the paramedic level. We have since come back down to the BLS level, as you get a staff, a paramedic level service, is what we were doing. All we're really asking to do is giving ourselves the license and the ability to transport if we need to transport, if we need to move somebody out of our jurisdiction toward a hospital or to a hospital. So we don't have any other transport available in a timely manner. That's all we're asking to do. We're not establishing an ambulance service. All we are establishing is a license to transport if we need to transport. We'll utilize our same medical director, which is Dr. Nancy Trangmo, and she's been on board since probably the late 90s when they came down and she took the position with Community Medical Center. And she became our medical director and still is. Anything that we do operation-wise, licensure-wise, all goes through her. She has the stamp of approval on anything we do in the field. We are essentially working under her doctor's license. So she has signed off on us doing all these fun things. And that's a process that we're working on right now, is all of our policies and procedures, all those things, so it's all at one board. Currently, right now, we are running under the Montana Board of Medical Examiners SOPs. That is our standard that we're running to, and we'll probably continue to stay right there. Dr. Trangmo has the privilege to adjust those protocols as she deems necessary and sees appropriate for care. That is all her doing. So really all we're asking to do is change her license from non-transporting to being able to transport. Our initial thought was we wouldn't build. We ran into a situation where we do need to build because then that messes up all the surrounding transporting services, i.e. Marcus Daly, Missoula Emergency Services, because they transport and they bill Medicaid, Medicare, and if we don't, we provide a free service and don't bill, then they go back to their patients and go, why didn't you use the free service, the free transport, instead of paying Marcus Daly or Massey? So we have to play the game to keep everybody in view, to keep everybody happy. And that's all we're really trying to do, is provide a better level of service for the town at no additional cost to the taxpayer at all. If we do transport you, Ray, and we bill your Medicaid, Medicare, whatever, and for whatever reason they deal, no, we're not paying, there's no payment, we can't pay, whatever, we would still, under the agreement, have the ability to say, write-off, raise free and clear. Done. We had billed, bill was denied, whatever, however, we can still cancel that off, and no problem. We are looking at setting what our transporting fee would be. We're looking at our cost per mile. We're looking at our expenses, all of our expenses, whatever Band-Aid or whatever we have to utilize. We're looking to compensate VMTs that take the time out of their day to go make that run. We're looking to compensate that. All that will be built into our transport fee, and we will have a singular fee that we transport at. And that will be a fee set at the BLS, basic life support emergent level. If you look at the transporting schedules of fees that are out there, it's all over the world, from high to low. I mean, it is all over the world. And so what I have done, and we've talked about, we being myself and the Mayor Brandon and Brittany and our Assistant Chief Lee Henderson, we've talked about what seems fair and prudent and would work within the town of Stephenville and for what we're trying to accomplish and do. So that's how we're coming at it. We're backing into it. What is the cost? Basically, we've got our cost covered. We'll incur some mileage. We'll incur a stipend for whomever is in the transporting crew. Outside of that, when we transport, we're really not incurring any more expense or cost to this department than what we're currently doing now. We currently run on every page for ambulance transport, ambulance service within our district, the town and the district. We mutually to the district that way. So we're simultaneously paid with us 5 ambulances today and have been for a number of years. We run, we assist, we go home. We'll do the same thing if they're there, if they're not there, if they're delayed for whatever reason, and we need to pick up and we need to move, then we'll pick up and we'll move. That's all we're looking to do. We're just looking to make it all legitimate, above board, and provide the best service that we can to the community for the least amount of expense. We're not in the transport service. We cannot staff a 24/7 ambulance by any stretch of the means. We're all volunteers. Time goes off. We have to decide if we can go or not go. We have to decide if we're going to leave the meeting or stay in the meeting, leave dinner, or whatever we're going to do. That's what we do as volunteers, and that's the service that we're providing. We're just trying to give better service, better product to the community at no additional cost out of their pocket.
Mr. Groninger.
Real quick, just one thing about Chief Motley. I mean, I can't say enough about the Stephenville Fire Department. I mean, they're top-notch, and they're just awesome. And yes, I'm prejudiced. There's no question about it. They are the best. But the two concerns is we've got a motion to entertain this direction, but one without the stipulation of the fees to decide as far as the fees, but also, two, is the liability. These folks, there's no question they know what they're doing, and there's no question they cannot handle it. But it's that one person that got a hangnail on the door that could sue. So where is the liability on that as far as to protect the citizens of the town of Stephenville? Not from their efforts, from somebody trying to take advantage of their efforts, which are strictly quality. So that's all I got to say.
Chief?
So back to the liability question. I guess we could, there's an opportunity in anything we do by anybody out there that really wants to do it. We are insured. We do have coverage through NMIA. We have had and will continue to have, I'm sure. Really, it doesn't change our liability exposure at all, other than the fact that we're driving down the highway a little further distance. Granted, that is an exposure gain. But I think the benefit to the community versus risk of that exposure, the benefit far exceeds that exposure risk. Again, we are insured through NMIA for all of our vehicles, all of our individuals. Our EMT license, the National Registry and the State of Montana Board of Medical Examiners, that's all covered under that liability through those different organizations and things that we belong to. So we really don't have a huge bunch of exposure out there. I saw today come through claims or somewhere what the insurance was for the QAM. It was $300 annually to insure that rig. So I just don't see us having a huge extended exposure to liability other than what. I mean, if somebody really wants to go do it, they're going to go do it and come after us. And I don't know. I think that'd be pretty hard to win.
Okay, any further public comment? Mr. Monk.
Before all this got started, eons ago, Doc Spencer started the 911 service in Stevensville. And I was one of the drivers. I was on the fire department for 14 years before you got here. Mm-hmm. And I drove the ambulance. Nobody got paid. Nothing happened. Prior to that, we had one really good volunteer, Whitesitz Funeral Home. They brought their vehicle up to the games at school and everything and transported our kids to the hospital, no cost. And so this is a replacement program, an idea to start. The prices are going to be tough to compete against, and I think we're going to end up being zero, being paid by Medicare and Medicaid, and then we're going to violate our agreement with the hospital by not charging. We have to charge.
If
we do submit that bill, and we will submit that bill, and if that bill is denied, then we have fulfilled our obligation to charge our two bill. And that doesn't mess up the Medicaid Medicare part of it for anybody else.
No, it doesn't. But it might mess up the hospital.
It wouldn't. That's what the chief is explaining is that it, once we submit that bill, that's all the hospital requires us to do, is submit the bill for reimbursement. If that reimbursement doesn't come through and the town decides to write off that debt, then our obligation to the hospital has been met. We don't necessarily have an agreement with the hospital either. I mean, so.
You do have an agreement with the hospital, don't you? The town of Stevensville?
No.
We never have.
We do. We used to. Not anymore. And for you guys, okay.
The motion on the floor is to approve the ambulance billing agreement with Pintler Billing Services. We'll call for the vote. Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Smith.
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. We'll move on to new business, the alcohol use permit and special event permit for the Stevensville Civic Club's Creamery Picnic held August 3rd and 4th. Documentation is in your packet. Approvals have been obtained. Would the council like to proceed? Mr. Michelson.
I make a motion that we approve the alcohol use permit and special event permit for the Stevensville Civic Club.
Okay, it's been moved to approve the event permit and alcohol permit for the Civic Club. Is there a second? Ms. Holcomb.
I'll second it.
Okay. Any discussion from council? Any public comment? Mr. Michelson, go ahead.
I can wait till it comes back around. But
you're okay.
I have one question. Did our police department get a safety permit?
A safety permit?
Well, a permit for
from the Department of Revenue on the alcohol?
No. As far as putting out
the street permit?
Yeah.
Yes, the street permit's been obtained.
Okay, thank you.
Any further council discussion or public comment? Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilmember Smith.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Okay, thank you. This agenda item is Resolution 401A, a resolution amending the Town of Stevensville Personnel Policy Manual, Section 37, Travel and Expense Reimbursement. This stemmed from a conversation held at the last budget workshop where you asked that per diem rates be adjusted to better compensate for meals. April went through, adjusted that policy, and this has been before the attorney and MMIA both. Council would like to proceed. Ms. Holcomb.
I move we approve Resolution 401A, a resolution amending the Town of Stevensville Personnel Policy Manual, Section 37, Travel and Expense Reimbursement.
Okay, is there a second? Mr. Michelson.
I second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to adopt Resolution 401A, a resolution amending the Town of Stevensville Personnel Policy Manual, Section 37, Travel and Expense Reimbursement. Council discussion. Mr. Michelson.
This came about at this last MMIA meeting. Well, actually, it came before that. The former Mayor Cruz, we did the personnel policy, which the council approved. Of course, you don't read everything, but we missed a pretty important one here. Per diem rates before were $6, $5, and $4. And of course, April held us to that, which she should. And we got back here, and when we thought we had a little bit of money coming for meals, we found out we didn't have any. So we thought we'd just amend it and go back to the old way, because who can get a $6 meal down there at night in Billings? Except at McDonald's. You can't even get one at McDonald's. I think if the council owes it to itself, it puts in 4 days down there of training, it should be able to go out and eat a good dinner. Thank you.
Further council discussion? Public comment? Hearing none, we proceed to vote. Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Smith?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. The next agenda item is Resolution 387B, a resolution amending the Town of Stevens, the Town Council rules for the Town of Stevensville related to Exhibit B, instructions for completion and submission of a request for an item to be added to the Council agenda. This was brought up multiple times by the former clerk, Stacy Bartlett. We accidentally adopted a form by resolution, which makes it extremely difficult administratively to update, should an update ever need to be done, because it's adopted essentially into law. So what we're asking is that we remove the form from the resolution. Audrey has freshened up the form that we currently use. The content is all there. Nothing's changed other than it. Kind of standard, it's been standardized through some of our other forms. So we're not necessarily asking to change the form in content, more in format. The council would like to proceed. Does the council have any direction?
So how is it reading right now then? Is that in Exhibit B that we've...
Your instructions remain the same, right? What we're asking is that we take the actual form, this agenda item request form, mm-hmm. out of the resolution. The form exists. We wouldn't get rid of the form. We're just asking to pull it out of the resolution so that we can turn it into this form, because in order to put these lines and standardize it so it's easier for us to use in the office, we can't, because this is adopted by resolution. It was an oversight. You're not supposed to adopt forms by resolution.
I'm not even sure. Oh, sorry.
Ms. Holcomb, go ahead.
I'm not sure what's wrong with the form we have now, though.
It's a bit cumbersome for us to use in the office. We use it on a more regular basis, and obviously, I mean, you folks read it, and we just like to standardize it a little bit better to match the rest of our forms. The content is all there. Ms. Barker.
So on the form that we have now, the citizen doesn't, okay, citizen's contact number.
Pull the hard copies out too, Robin, if you want. I'm going to set them side by side. So that's the old, here's the new. Anybody else want to see them side by side? Okay. Ms. Holcomb.
I still don't see what's wrong with this one. Why we have to change anything if we're just talking about lines. I don't see any reason to do that.
So is there a reason not to? Ms. Barker.
I think it's a pretty simple form. Like we have an unfinished business, mm-hmm. new business submitted before noon.
Okay. Well, we just put an effort forward to help the efficiency of the office, but we can move on. Is there anything else? Mm-hmm. Okay. Next agenda item is 10D, request spending authority to purchase a pool boiler. As it was brought to your attention, the last council meeting, an evaluation of our boiler was done. I should have brought pictures of the old one. I apologize. It's shot. In fact, we uninstalled it because it's past its lifespan. It was installed in 1993. It's had multiple services done on it, repairs, and we've limped it along, and it's finally hit the dust. So after consultation with some other aquatic facilities and plumbing firms, we found the most economical solution we could for a pool heater. Most of the current pool heater we had, it's a special brand, and it's actually a true boiler. To replace that, it was in the range of $7,000 to $10,000 to replace. The DoubleTree Hotel in Missoula uses this pool. They call this a pool heater, not necessarily a boiler. And they're obviously much more affordable, in the $2,000 range, $2,000 to $3,000. They stated if you got the saltwater pool heater, it'll last forever. It's nearly bulletproof, and your corrosion factors won't harm your maintenance of it. So that's what we put forward. We've asked for the $5,000 budget so that the project can be capitalized, and so that I imagine when we get in there and start installing the heater, we're going to find other issues. That's just the way that swimming pool happens to work. And I'm not beyond having to extensively move some plumbing around in order to accommodate the new heater. And we don't know for sure yet how this heater will get along with our pump. It should be fine, but we don't know. So that's why we're asking for the $5,000 spending authority, because we're out of the budget cycle. We need that in order to move forward, and it'll come out of Fund 4000 capital improvements. Mr. Michelson.
So if I understand you right, it's not in the capital improvement right now. It'll have to come out of the new budgets?
Correct.
Okay.
And because we haven't adopted a new budget, we need authority to go forward, and we'd like to do this week, if we can.
Would we require to get two or three quotes, or just go with the one, the only one you could find?
We've priced out different heaters themselves. A plumbing firm has offered to install it for no cost at all, so we're obviously going to take them up on that. So I don't think we'll put that out to bid, but the actual heaters themselves, we've priced to different manufacturers, and the price you see on the board was the best one I could find at that given moment. But we continue to shop around for the most economical solution. Ms. Barker.
So which firm is it that you said that wouldn't have a problem installing it for nothing?
The plumber.
That is a family issue.
And they're installing it for free, so there's no monetary exchange.
Still not
still family.
No.
You cannot do that.
Can't do it.
You're going to turn down free installation.
You can't do it.
The
it's
purchasing.
Illegal.
Excuse me. There's not time for public comment yet.
Just turn
it. You can't do it. It is a conflict, and it states it in our. It's a nepotism.
Nepotism. Our purchasing policy says that if a contract is awarded, that disclosure has to be made, which disclosure has just been made. However, there's no monetary gain on one way or another. I have nothing to gain by having my father-in-law install a boiler or a pool heater for free. Now, that doesn't affect whether or not you want to purchase the boiler. We have to purchase the pool heater one way or another. And if the installation of that heater, we can purchase the heater independently of any plumbing firm. If you want me to pay someone to put the heater in, then depending on the dollar amount, we'll follow the purchasing policy accordingly.
So per se, we have something that goes wrong with that, and then we're out an additional... I'm just saying, these things can happen, that something maybe is misinstalled, and...
That's why we want it professionally installed, so that we qualify for the rebate for this piece of equipment. Ms. Holcomb.
But in the reason why you're asking for the $5,000, you're saying you're including the installation into that $5,000.
Correct. The installation was a factor when this was brought forward, but since then I've been able to find installation for free. Now, if obviously we'll need the extra funding if you demand that it be installed by a professional plumber. Outside of the for-free offer. Mr. Smith?
There was a comment made that this may not work with our pump, though. So what would that entail? So if that $2,000 doesn't work with our pump, then what are our other options, shall we say?
I think with the $5,000 budget, we do have an extra pump that we can try. The pump we have right now was a replacement of the one that we lost last year, and it was a backup. It's old, and old cast iron is starting to corrode. A new pump, we could be looking in the $1,000 to $2,000 range, depending on what we got.
So maybe the $5,000 amount realistically isn't the proper amount to be using then?
We're asking for $5,000 in capital improvement funds just to at least get the heater installed and up and running. The council is at liberty to authorize whatever amount they choose tonight if they want to move forward on the project. Mr. Michelson.
I have to agree with the majority of the crowd looking at this. I don't think we want to put the town into a liability issue as far as a nepotism issue. I know we could get it for free and it all sounds good, but we're still bound by law. It's just that way. If you start bending some of the rules, and then what happens next? So I would approve the boiler, but I'd also have to, we'd have to look at hiring somebody to do it. I know it's a sad case, but, and I know you mean well by getting around it, Mayor Dewey, but the law is a law. We can't have nepotism within, because it makes the two people out there that aren't in the meeting that don't come in here, it could be viewed. They could take that and constrict that, and it might not look good at all on your part. I know you want to help the town, but it's the law's law. Thank you.
Does the council wish to take some sort of action? Mr. Michelson.
I make a motion to request the spending authority on the purchase of a pool boiler, but upon the condition that we do not use your father-in-law as a free labor due to our laws found by our town and our state.
Okay. It's been moved to authorize spending authority for the purchase of a pool boiler without using the plumber as the installation due to laws of nepotism for the city and state. Is there a second? Ms. Barker.
Second motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any further council discussion? Any public comment? Mr. Groninger.
So you just set a motion and was seconded to give carte blanche as far as the figure without any estimates or any kind of understanding of cost, $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, without seeing any invoices of estimates. Is that correct?
Yes, he's at the previous discussion here. I think Mr. Dewey stated when I asked if he didn't take any more bids, and he said that's one, right?
Right. We've shopped. That's the lowest price we can find through different dealers who issue the pump, the heater. I understand Mr. Groninger's concern about the motion. If you refer to your council communication sheet that's included, it does give you a sample motion that authorizes a dollar amount, where the funds come from, and for what purpose those are for. So you may refer to that if you'd like to rephrase your motion.
That's understood, but the dollar amount wasn't referred to, nor does he have any kind of information.
Correct. Yes.
To back up your suggestion.
Right, which is why I referred him back to the council.
So the catch 22 is you've just given the mayor carte blanche to spend whatever because you approved it without a dollar amount or an estimate to stand by.
That's correct. I'd like to retract my motion.
Okay. Motion's retracted. I'd entertain a motion from the council to authorize $5,000 of capital funds to be used for the purchase and install of a replacement boiler for the pool. Somebody can say so moved if they want. Ms. Holcomb.
So moved. This motion.
Is there a second? Mr. Michelson.
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to authorize $5,000 of capital funds to be used to the purchase and install of a replacement boiler for the swimming pool. Council discussion. Mr. Michelson.
I just have to clarify that my mistake here. I was going by the old way here, and I was looking at this where it didn't have a dollar amount.
Sure. Nope. It's a new system. We're still adjusting. Not a problem.
Okay.
Public comment. Ms. Eckert.
So that pump
the heater?
Heater that you were looking at that is a good heater. Mm-hmm. It's is the salt water one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just want to make sure that we're not just buying the cheapest one.
We had the opportunity to see it to work. The DoubleTree uses them as well in Missoula, and they bought the non-salt water ones and recommended you buy the salt water ones so that you don't have to replace the parts as often.
Okay.
Mr. Motley.
Is DoubleTree an exterior outdoor pool or indoor?
Outdoor. Further public comment, Mr. Perrin.
I'm Bill Perrin, 503 Charlotte. This will be a heater, so we don't need a boiler license to operate that.
Correct.
Is that correct? So do we have anything that we have to have a boiler license?
Our boiler here at the facility.
That's the only thing we've got.
Correct. All right. If there's no further public comment, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Smith.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. Concludes the business portion of the agenda. Move on to the executive.
Excuse me,
Glenn. Yes.
Can I give my report?
Oh, sure. Let's back up the bus a little bit and do the fire report before I give my report.
This will be brief. I'm sure you probably saw the rent stats and all the other stuff while I was gone. One thing I do want to add to that is I do have a roster for the town. You have three copies of it. You guys can do with what you want. You can also get that information from HR. She has that as well. Troy Valine's name did not make that particular copy. He is on the roster, however. You'll see Brian Gunn's name is on there with more information behind it. Brian now resides in the 3 Mile Fire District. Yes, he can respond daytime during this time when he's here, able to leave work or whatever, but I would imagine Brian probably transferring out of work department into 3 Mile or somebody else. But that is the current roster. 19 is a valid number. If you have Cody on there, take Brian off, it stays at 19. If you don't take Brian off, with Cody on there, it goes to 20. I call it 19.
Will this be put on our next agenda to approve this?
It can be. Generally, we do that once a year, and generally do it at the first of the year. amending the new road, but that's fine. Can you bring it forward for approval, or adoption, or whatever you want to call it?
Thank you.
Sure. Also, you asked me at the last budget meeting to come back and give you a report as to what Brittany has been doing for the fire department in the last few days and weeks. Most of her time is being consumed by working with the transporting license and agreements and the policies and the procedures and all those things that go along with that. In response or conjunction with her day-to-day daily activities such as entering fire calls, run reports, trip reports, all those things into NIMPRs and reporting back to the state on that part of it that we do for our state license and state data collection, as well as for the ISO and ISO rating numbers that we do. She's also in charge of or helping issue equipment, maintaining equipment, getting it sent for repair, all those other pieces and parts on a kind of daily as things come up. That's her assignment to do that kind of ongoing deal. So yeah, she's been fairly busy up there, and recently she's been doing quite a bit of time upstairs from the mayor's office. I'm working, I guess Denise was on vacation or something, and she was doing some fill in there and working there. So that's what she's been doing for me upstairs. Doing me a great job. Appreciate having her. She does great work. Very energetic and go getter, and just really enjoy it. So she's been doing a great job. Very pleased to have her. Any questions?
Any questions for the chief? Mr. Michelson.
Is it customary, and I know this probably, is it customary for the fire department to train people before they come before council, or should it be wiser before they come council first? Because once you train them, of course, the council pretty much has to confirm them.
So yes, it has been very customary to interview and bring people into the department, do a probationary period for them, and then also then move them on into full status, and then bring them back to the council annually for approval. We generally do that at the same time we hold officer elections. We currently are no longer holding officer elections. We are doing officer appointments per legal counsel's recommendation. They've been harping for years that we get out of the popularity vote as to who is going to be in charge of the department. We just didn't see that as being a good operational model to have a popularity vote to see who's going to be in charge of leadership. So we have changed that. We changed that 2 years ago. We're going to do the appointment method versus they're appointed by the chief after consultation with the current officers. They're appointed by the chief of the department. They go back to the department membership. Here's the appointed officers, and it's kind of a vote of approval, but it's not really, it's more of a vote of confidence, I would say, than, yeah, this is who I want as my chief, or is that my leader, my captain, my lieutenant, or whatever. In the fire service, your captain, your lieutenant, your right front officer, they are in charge of that crew. Their job is life safety for that crew. Yes, as a fireman, I can go, you know what, I'm not going to follow Mr. Monk in that building. Nothing against you, Mr. Monk, but I'm just not going there with you tonight. They have that authority, that ability to decline at any point in time. No harm, no foul. We regroup, we go forward. That's always the way it's always done, and will continue to be. But we have moved forward, and we are now appointing our officers just because it's the right thing to do. It makes the best sense for the department and the leadership. We are not a democracy. We're not a republic. We are a dictatorship in the fire department. And there's no excuse for that. Chief says, company officer says, that's what happened. We'll figure it out later if you don't agree. You don't want to do a great, fine bow out. We'll move forward and we'll hash that out down the road. But when it's, shall we say, hitting the fan, it's not open for debate.
Oh, yeah. Jeff, I don't have a problem with it. I'm just saying, going on my third year now, I've never had one firefighter come before the council for approval. And I'm looking at the months here and that, and there's some of here that you say usually in January, they haven't.
We brought Brian and Cody Ruin and Trevor all on after that date, so they would not have been on that list that would have come forward.
No.
That's fine. I mean, we can bring it, as soon as we bring somebody else on, if you guys, if it's your desire, we bring that individual forward at that time, we can do that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk about that.
Ms. Parker.
I'd just like to say I appreciate this because this is the first time that I've actually seen
the
roster.
I mean, and the district has one that's very similar to the names, but yeah, very similar.
I have one more question.
Sure.
A month ago, I asked you if you could get an inventory list for me.
We'll have one for you after this Thursday night's training. We're doing hose checks.
All right.
So we'll have a complete inventory of all our hoses. Brittany's got that all put together for us and all of our other belongings and pieces. So yeah, we're just kind of holding out until we go through all the hose, and then we'll bring that forward. Absolutely. No, I forgot about it.
I know. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Chef. All right, moving into the executive report. You'll notice my reports are going to be coming a bit lengthier, however, greater in detail, so I use the opportunity to respond to council inquiries received between meetings and do so on the record. There's a few things before I respond to individual inquiries that I'd like to update you on. Well, firstly, good news. The airport fly-in event last week was a wonderful success, and everyone who participated gave stellar reviews of our community and the great people we have here in the organization that aided in making the event happen. The group that coordinated the fly-in, which is a kind of a regional group in the Pacific Northwest, asked that Mr. Smith be given this token of appreciation for your efforts and contributions to the event. They had nothing but good words to say about you, so it's a little thank you from them. They asked that I pass that along. The reports that council requested for employee pay rates and job descriptions were sent out by April last week, and it sounds like there's been some correspondence since then. The General Services Clerk has been assisting my office in following projects, namely code compliance training has been completed and compliance checks are being done throughout the town in a more consistent manner. So it took some time for Brittany to get trained up and learn our code a little bit and figure out what the process was, since it had been a while since we'd undertaken something like that. She's up to speed now. And is largely coordinating the notice of any of violations and any necessary follow-ups, so second notices and that sort of thing, which should help you out in your situation, Mr. Tadvik. Otherwise, Brittany's assisting in administrative functions at the swimming pool during periods of low staffing and helping them with the paperwork that's required there. She's working with the Public Works Department to coordinate the bathroom remodel at the Lewis and Clark Park. The next step in that project is selection of the fixtures, and we're working with Garden City Plumbing to pick those out. Brittany is continuing to provide assistance in the administrative office on various tasks, including covering the utility billing clerk's recent vacation. She did an outstanding job covering that. Town clerk is adjusting to her position well and is working to catch up the backlog of minutes from June's council meetings. Audrey's also spending a good portion of her time training in the court with the judge, as well as on their software and procedures that they undertake each week. The finance officer is working with HDR on the East 3rd Street resurfacing cost projections. She's also seeking alternative funding by way of grants for some capital projects we're anticipating, 3rd Street included. We're hoping maybe we can solicit Mountain West Cooperative to maybe help us with resurfacing that street, since they seem to be a large portion of the traffic with the fertilizer industry there. She's working with the staff to implement an electronic time card system that will result in time and cost savings in wages to the town. So we're excited to kind of see how that system works out for us. Our pool manager, Michaela, is continuing to coordinate staffing on swim lesson programs for us. They're about halfway through those. We're doing swim lessons all the way through August this year. And so far, they've been going very well and well received. Guard training was held last week for a handful of staff as a skills refresher, so they're up on some of their skills. Most of our guards were due for recertification this spring. They've completed that. We're just brushing up on some stuff. Public Works, in a conversation with George, we've addressed or are addressing the deficiencies at River Park, namely mowing and the trail repair. Since the flood took its toll on the trail, and obviously the abundance of rain we had this spring made everything grow, so we need to get down there with the mower. Our police officer vacancy closed on Friday. Several applications were received, and I'm confident we'll find an appropriate candidate in the pool of applicants. So at this point, we're not going to extend that application period. We're going to leave it as is. Public Works employee who was just recently hired will start on the 30th of July. He had to give his notice, and then there was a family vacation in there we needed to accommodate that was planned well in advance. So he'll start 30th of July. He's been in a couple of times to complete paperwork and is eager to join the team. We appreciate that. In regards to the airport fence, I'm still in communication with the town's attorney and with the contractor. I'm still waiting for a call back from the contractor to answer a few of the questions that Brian had. The next steps is to solicit the three required estimates for that project and then make a selection from there. You'll see that come forward. If that isn't complete before... let's see how I phrase this. You'll see this come forward if we're able to complete the project before the budget is adopted. If you've adopted the budget, then we'll comply with the purchasing policy which you adopt and go from there. We'll take the appropriate action. So you may or may not see it depending on the dollar amount that these estimates come back to. But nonetheless, we're working to resolve that. The contractor's indicated that there's no issue with the temporary fencing. For the time being, he understands that he maybe jumped the gun on the project without any signed contract with the town. At the last town council meeting, Stacy or Ms. Barker made statements regarding the purchase of flowers for the planters on Main Street, and she said that the expense of around $500 was pulled from the town hall maintenance budget. I followed up and looked at that. The $500 was in fact pulled from the 2940 account, economic development. However, that maybe the confusion came from that we had flowers planted here in our window boxes, and those did in fact come out of the town hall maintenance budget. And they're line next to line, so I hope that that clarifies that confusion for that topic. I received correspondence from Mrs. Holcomb expressing her disappointment in my allowing discussion on agenda items that lacked second in the latest town council meeting. Mrs. Holcomb also questioned the police clerk's attendance at council meetings and why she was running the projector at a different meeting. Ms. Holcomb also argued that the aerobics instructor and lifeguard are not the same thing and expressed a disliking of the new furniture arrangement in the meeting room. She also wanted to know when we bought a new projector, and she discussed communication and the driving of fire vehicles in her email to me as well. In response, I felt that allowing the items for on the previous agenda to be discussed would clarify for myself and the community what direction the council wanted to take on the matter. All employees can attend council meetings, including the police clerk. She's no exception to that. They work their time arrangements and whether or not they're on the clock with their supervisors, and I rarely question this as it's never been abused. Janelle ran the projector at a meeting where no other staff were available to attend that meeting, and I appreciate her willingness to do so. She stepped up to the plate, and that's very helpful. We did not buy a new projector. This is the same projector that we've used for the last 4 to 5 years. Likely it's on its last leg, but it keeps ticking. I believe the rest of Ms. Holcomb's concerns in that specific email have been addressed through other discussions tonight or otherwise. I received correspondence from Ms. Holcomb inquiring about a building permit that had been issued at 414 Church. Mrs. Holcomb expressed concern that I had signed off on the permit and stated she wasn't sure what kinds of powers I thought I had as the mayor, but I needed to stop before a lawsuit was brought onto the town. She asked that I put a cease and dismiss on construction. In response, the permit was issued using standard procedures through the clerk's office. In fact, I did not issue the permit. Audrey had. I only signed off on the zoning review of the permit, which is my responsibility as the zoning administrator. So, yes, my signature is on the permit as the zoning administrator. Zoning and regulations have been met with the project. Dennis, the building official, has yet to revoke the permit, and he has had 2 weeks to do so. The permit's been out there for a while. I do not issue stop work orders unless the zoning code has been violated. Hopefully that clears that issue for you. Ms. Holcomb also inquired in another piece of correspondence to who gave consent to the bidder at Star to print her emails to me in the newspaper. Ms. Holcomb also accused me of deleting an email of hers and asked that her consent be given before her emails are released. In response, the bidder at Star asked for my emails that you referenced at the last meeting. I willingly shared my emails with the Star, including the dialogue between you and I. At no time were your emails administratively accessed. We did it all through my own email account. The completed records request is on file in the clerk's office. There's no requirement that consent be obtained before public records on a public system from a public official are released. Previous correspondence from Brian West will further clarify the issue if needed. And that concludes any correspondence I received from the council since the last meeting that required a response tonight. Undoubtedly, it's been a tumultuous 7 months for us, certainly between us. Attempts to bury the hatchet have failed, tempers have flared, and regrettable actions against each other have been committed. In a time where it seems everything else is going right for our community, the five of us seem to be the only thing that's wrong. You can all attest that the conversation surrounding perception is held that has been held at this table even long before I've sat here, and the takeaway from the conversation has always been that the intent of someone's actions is irrelevant when the perception of another's doesn't align. In fact, this is taught even in harassment trainings. Perhaps it's time we have the conversation about perception again, or at the very least, I've taken time to reflect on my time as the mayor in the past 7 months, and as best as I can, objectively look at my actions and whether or not they've been perceived or accepted in the same way as my intentions. I can see that you've perceived my actions as an attempt to discredit you and sabotage the work that the community expects you to accomplish. While not my intention, I realize that I must use my leadership to be more sensitive to your feelings and the goals that you have for our community, whether I agree with them or not. While I don't necessarily tout myself as a strict religious man, I do believe in the church's teaching to live by faith, serving others freely and generously in all that we do because we trust God's promise in the gospel. Part of that faith is the practice of humility, something that seems to become more prevalent in life as I gain my maturity. In that humility, I apologize. You know now that my intentions are only for the well-being of our community and the longevity of the organization. I ask that you understand my position, where I sometimes have to make the decision that no one else can make, and that the outcome may result in the dissatisfaction among a few people. The staff and I have implemented positive change over a relatively short period of time, and we ask that you embrace that. Also understand, I can't control how your actions are perceived by the public or otherwise. It's only up to you, or that is only up to you as individuals and a body. We all care here, that's the bottom line. But I'd prefer that we all genuinely care together. And that concludes my executive report. Council comments. Boy, Ms. Barker.
I would just like to know, I know when we went to the MMIA training the Institute training in May, you said that you were going to pay back your $336.63. I've yet to see it come through on claims. Have you done that so forth? I just kind of like to know, because I've gone back through the claims and I haven't seen it. And it should show as an income coming back in.
It's going to reimburse that account, and it'd be in the last fiscal year. So I can show you the report where that came back in. I can email that to you.
I'd like to see it because it should have been on our cash reports as coming in as income.
It wouldn't. It's not going to show on the cash report because it's showing back towards the expense in your expenditure report. But I'll clarify that. That's fine. I can have April run the report that shows the reimbursement.
I'd like to see it, please.
Sure. Mr. Smith.
Ms. Motley, I nailed your brother last time, so now I get you. Thank you very much for your hard work on the 4th of July celebration and blowing things up. I appreciate what the fly-in people are trying to give me here, but I cannot accept this $100 gift card that was presented in there with that.
You take that up with them. I'd contact Tom and deal with him on that. I'm just the messenger.
Well, I understand. Then it can go to the town.
Okay.
So I'll take the card. You take the cash.
This is a donation? Okay. I'll issue you a receipt. Thanks, Ray. Further council comment? Mr. Michelson.
Per last week's newspaper, again, on this email thing surfaced, I had a long talk with Brian West, our city attorney. He's going to send me the Missoula and Hamilton's email that we unsuccessfully did at the COW meeting in March. And he would like to recommend that we go with Missoula's end, and not only that, that I be in contact with you, Mayor Dewey, as far as this GoDaddy account. Brian thinks if we paid a little more money to get another account, we get a bigger Dropbox so we could put all the emails in and be like Missoula, is what he highly recommends, and just make them all go public. It ends with all this email crap that's going on in paper between us, because really it comes down to a lot of this in the discourse, and thank you for apologizing, and I'll apologize for my actions against you.
Thank you.
It goes both ways.
Appreciate it.
And if we end this email issue, and it's up there for the public to see every month, and that way, like Mr. West said, 99% of them are public anyway. It's that one that sneaks through where he says, like even him, he doesn't want to get out of his box and go into his personal account to make a doctor's appointment or something. And he said that way he would look at it, he would get a hold of the council member and say, do you want to release this one email that says you contacted your doctor about an appointment? Because, of course, those are confidential. And it would be up to the council member or you or whoever. But I think going forward, if we just put that out there, that all emails, once we get this in place, just everybody can see them. That way we just end this crap of, I know there's some privacy involved, but it's eventually all public anyway. So Missoula just puts them all out there, and they never have a problem. It seems like we're the only one around here that's got this email issue going on. Well, it's nationwide, actually, but it has to end. So
this has got 30,000.
Further council comment. Ms. Ogle.
I understand they came to you, but there's also, it would have been nice if they would have came to me and got my permission as well. And I understand this email thing needs to stop. It really does. I mean, to open up the paper and it'd be blasted out there. And I didn't even get a call or anything to be not even warned. I agree. I think we need to move forward. If we're going to do anything with this town, we need to move forward. And right in 7 months, we haven't done nothing but stale at this table. I just think we need to start moving forward. And I think the community, the town, and everybody, I like their input. And anytime anybody calls me that wants to meet up, I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with it at all. So if you want to meet with me and talk, let me know. I'll be happy to meet with you.
Any further council comments? Any board reports? I think any boards have met recently. All right, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn. Ms. Holcomb. Ms. Barker.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Meeting's adjourned.
No, that's crap. Yes. I mean, I could have been, and just said, you know, I can give that to my daughter, but it's still around.
It's your decision.
Brandon, yes. Who do I talk to?